In an election that will determine the fate of the entire universe, there's only one podcast holding politicians accountable. Scott Morrison, Anthony Albanese. Who will lose? Find out on The Chaser Report, Election Edition.
Hello and welcome to the Chaser Report Election Edition for Tuesday, 29th of April. It's 25 days until the election. I'm Charles Firth. We begin today with the solemn news that Australia is at war. War is peace, and the only way to achieve peace is to bomb China back to the Stone Age, at least according to Peter Dutton.
The only way you can preserve peace is to prepare for war and to be strong.
Until now, the election has been at risk of being the most boring election since the uncontested ballot for Year 5 band captain at Wagga Wagga Public School in 1978. But on Monday, Morrison said an arc of autocracy was forming across the world, and China setting up a military base in the Solomon Islands is a red line for Australia.
I share the same red line that the United States has.
Red line is, of course, the term most famously used by Barack Obama to describe a line which, if crossed, you then back away from earlier commitments to do anything about.
A red line for us is a whole bunch of chemical weapons moving around or being utilised.
Meanwhile, Labor accuses the government of dropping the ball, saying they've made plenty of announcements but haven't delivered. Labor has said that they'll counter that with more announcements. Labor promises to deploy more equipment and training in the Pacific, chief among which will be Penny Wong's Death Stare, a weapon so powerful that until now it has rarely been deployed outside Senate estimate hearings.
How pathetic. How shameful.
No doubt the Chinese are quivering in fear that Australia will unleash its fleet of submarines as soon as they arrive in about 2050. Meanwhile, controversial Liberal Party captain's pick for the seat of Warringah, Catherine Deaves, continues to make headlines. Over the weekend, she appeared on SBS News to apologise for posting her anti-transgender comments on social media, but instead she just blamed social media and pledged to make sure that in future she says horrible things in places that can't be screen-capped so easily. The Israel Folau method.
I recognise that trying to prosecute arguments about complex, nuanced and difficult subjects, it should not take place on a platform that propagates division and hurt.
In other news, Anthony Albanese continues to suffer from COVID. The reports are that the virus is having trouble landing a punch on the opposition leader, who's deployed a small target strategy inside his body. That's the election wrap for Tuesday, the 26th of April. I'm Charles Firth. We'll be back in a sec.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And as well as Charles Firth on today's Chaser Report, we have me, Dom Knight, and Craig Rucastle. Hello.
Good to be here.
Now, we've waited 2 weeks to start the actual podcast. We took 2 weeks off as soon as the election was called.
Mm.
Good strategy or bad strategy?
Look, I think that was good strategy. The coming back today and actually starting an election podcast, terrible strategy.
All right, I'll see you guys in a week.
Horrible, yeah. Let's go back. Can we hide?
We do have some things for today, though. I've found the party with the best policy. You know, we haven't had any policy discussion all campaign. Mm. I've found it.
I'm going to look at the polling and also the effect of COVID on this election.
Plus, I've got a quiz about the election so far.
But we've been ignoring it for 2 weeks. This is going to be a shit quiz. I know nothing.
I can't wait. Let's do that.
The Chaser Report. Election edition.
So just a bit of an update on the polls that have come out. News polls come out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read you the headline and you can see if you guess what the result is, okay? So The headline, of course, in The Australian was Morrison builds lead over Albanese.
So the polls are moving.
They're moving. What do you think the two-party preferred would be with that headline?
It was at 47-53 in the last news poll. So I reckon, it probably hasn't completely closed the gap, but it would be, 49-51?
I'm guessing it's blown out in favour of Labor. They've done that on the basis of preferred Prime Minister, which tells us nothing.
You are correct. It is 53-47 still.
What?
A 6-point lead. And it's great because even the article says, Labor will get a majority government through this. But they also, by the way, the Prime Minister's approval did fall a little bit as well. But he does manage to be further ahead on preferred Prime Minister. He's 9 points ahead on that. That's Morrison Bill's lead over Albanese.
So we're definitely going to have a Labor government, but more of us will wish Scott Morrison was still Prime Minister. We have such a good system.
It's a pretty extraordinary. I mean, when you actually look at the stats, it's a pretty extraordinary popularity contest we've got going here because the Prime Minister's approval fell to 42% and his dissatisfaction ratings at 54%.
So he's minus 12.
He's minus. Yeah. Albanese's approval's at 38% and his dissatisfaction's at 50%.
So that's also minus 12.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's a tough one there because more people approve of the Prime Minister, but less people are dissatisfied by Albo.
But that's the beauty of low expectations.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
I love the fact that you've got to, like, people disapprove of the job that Anthony Albanese has been doing as Prime Minister. that is literally the question.
You are not a very good Prime Minister so far. Just a few other headlines from The Australian. Titanic's stunning fight back against iceberg. Hindenburg heating bills reduce.
And Australian increases readership.
And apparently Marine Le Pen has won the presidential poll for women.
Oh, wow.
Well done. But the interesting thing about this is this poll doesn't take into consideration, and this is the real curveball here, the period when, of course, Albanese has been locked up with COVID, which I think we would all agree is a masterstroke by Labor.
Yeah. Jesus. I mean, you're talking, small target. This is a no-target strategy. This is incredible.
This is cheap. I mean, the only problem with it is it's only a week-long disease.
It's
going to
get better,
Joe Biden won the presidency by spending months in his basement not leaving at all. I think having elbows on it, I would not come out and see daylight until he gets elected Prime Minister.
Exactly. And it's been funny because they've put out other spokespeople. Jason Clare gave a talk. And everything he said was really clear and cut through.
Yes.
And people were like, is that what he's been trying to say those last 6 days?
Exactly. Where are all the gaffes to cover?
It is an interesting thing. I mean, I guess, to be fair, they did it because they were like, we've got to give the excuse that Albo had long COVID before he got COVID.
Pre-COVID long COVID.
All that brain fog.
It's a tough one, though, for the Libs because has Morrison had COVID? I think
he had a few weeks ago.
He had it during the floods. And during the bushfires, and during the vaccine rollout, and during the rat.
But it's a tough one. But, like, would it be better or worse for Morrison to get COVID as well?
What I presume happened is that Morrison got COVID, and then from that moment on, Albanese was every single day trying to get it just so there'd be no difference between the two of them.
That's it.
And I presume it was finally at the debate. Morrison went, all right, fine. You can have it. Here you go.
You can have it, mate. Yeah.
Mind you, I reckon this is the first thing that the Labor Party's done that has finally gone viral.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Election news you can't trust. The Chaser Report.
Okay, so as you know, the election, it was called, a couple of weeks ago? Three, four, five weeks ago, it feels like.
Yeah.
I think it was about 6 months ago. Anyway, it's been the most boring election so far. So I thought, why don't we do a quiz about the most boring election so far?
Yay.
Yeah, and during the past 2 weeks, I've had a child and had COVID. And both of those things were
Which is the worst disease out of those two?
I know absolutely nothing. I barely know who the candidates
are. Okay. Question one. Who has done more Instagram posts this election so far? Is it Anthony Albanese or Scott Morrison?
I would say Scott Morrison is my answer.
I don't think Albert knows what Instagram is. I reckon it's definitely ScoMo.
Incorrect. So Morrison has done 75 Instagram posts since the election was called. Anthony Albanese has done 79.
Well, it's very close. It's very close.
Yeah. Well, what percentage of ScoMo's are just him going, I've cooked a curry?
Well, according to our record keeper, 98% of Scott Morrison's photos are him standing in front of things that other people did. but interesting, how many do you reckon are Anthony Albanese and his pet?
That'd be heaps. I've noticed that his approach to this election is to say, my pets are awesome. I'd say 60%.
The unfunny answer is it's actually only 7%. But that's still about 100
million. Sorry, let me go back in time. Yeah. I'd say, is it 3%? That's a very high number.
It is nice, though, that Albo has found someone who knows who he is.
But guess how many this is the most shocking statistic. How many of Scott Morrison's Instagram posts have been with him in front of a curry?
Zero.
No, I saw several. There's definitely been a few.
No, there's only been two this election.
Only two.
What is going on? I think the campaign is in chaos.
No, but to be fair, to Scott Morrison, he quite enjoys campaigning. Mm. It's just the running of the country he doesn't like. So that's when he cooks the curries.
Yeah, he's great at this.
He takes off three years cooking curries and then he runs the election.
There's no national crisis.
Didn't he go from one Bunnings in one state to one Bunnings in another state? I mean, this is what he does. If he can just somehow get him to just campaign for the next 3 years and get someone else to run the country, things might get done.
I like that. Okay, next question. How many beers have been drunk in public? Like, who's drunk more beer in public, Morrison or Anthony?
Barnaby Joyce.
It's interesting.
And that's not just in public, that's in private. In the living room, in the bathroom.
That's tough because Morrison did launch that beer can, but there was no beer in it. So that meant they didn't actually drink any beer that day.
Oh, really? Because, that was the one that was called ScoMo's Strong Economy Brew.
Yes.
And it was empty, was it?
That's empty, right? It was totally empty. And, I mean, who wouldn't want a beer called, can I have a strong economy beer, please?
Whereas Albo, I presume Albo's been drowning his sorrows nightly. Fucked up the stats. There goes the first week. Oh, I got COVID.
So the answer is Morrison by a mile. So he's had 12 different press appearances where he's drunk beer in public.
Seriously.
And Anthony Albanese has only done 6. I mean, can you be prime minister after drinking only 6 beers?
This is bullshit. I heard Albo say he wanted to be a prime minister like Bob Hawke. He's not doing it.
But we think we've discovered why he doesn't drink too much, because he forgets when he drinks.
that's right. Oh, was that his problem day one?
Yeah, it was 11 a.m. Yeah. You remember how much the beer cost, though?
Okay, who has appeared more in public, Scott Morrison or Anthony Albanese?
What do you mean in public?
Do you count being at home because you caught COVID and have to do a shitty Zoom on a project or something?
What's in public?
Well, like, how many times has he been out on the, holding a doorstop?
Okay, so that's counted as public. Because the interesting thing is that initially Morrison, all of his presses were kind of set up, so it was kind of really controlled.
Yeah.
But he did then do a bit of a street walk and kind of get out there. I'm not sure how much Albo's done. So you just mean any kind of press conference?
Yeah, and any sort of like press appearance where there's a gaggle of, press. And
well, Albo did that one where the guy wanted to ask him a difficult question and he just chickened out of it. I think that was it, wasn't it? Wasn't that the last press event Albo did?
I'd say Morrison has done more.
Yeah. Morrison's done double. He's done 40 and Albanese's done 21. But as you say, like he said, COVID, so it's not necessary. But interesting statistic, the number of wanted public appearances by them is still sitting at 0. So there you go. How many fuck-ups has Anthony Albanese done?
I know one thing, he would not know that number.
It's certainly more than 4%.
Was it 4 or 5, 5, 5.4? Is it about, let's go 5.
6. He's had 6. 6 gaffes, apparently. And that includes the two.
And that's according to Scott Morrison's campaign.
Yeah, that's right. Whereas Scott Morrison has only fucked up 3 interviews and you could probably count the debate as a bit of a fuck up as well.
Although almost all of his interviews are with Paul Murray, so where's the degree of difficulty on that?
Okay, next question. If you were the Liberal Party, this is a bit of a multiple choice question.
Yes.
Which issue would you base the election on?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be women's rights, men's rights, mm-hmm. coal rights, or alt rights?
I'm sorry, you haven't got trans women playing sport in that list.
That was the correct answer.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the dominant issue. I mean, the number of times I'm watching sport and trans women are playing and taking the spots of other women is... No, it's never happened before.
I hear you. So in the last Olympics, there are, I think, 110,000 athletes from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
12 of them were trans women. So,
see, it's a huge problem. Stop the election.
I mean, fuck China. This is the real issue.
Yeah, exactly. It hits me every day.
Next question. If you were the Labor Party, which issue would you base your campaign on? Would it be not being the Liberal Party,
mm-hmm.
not being Scott Morrison, mm-hmm. not being in power for 9 years, or not doing anything about climate change? Which one?
There's a real theme of not doing anything in that list, isn't there? I think Morrison's got that covered.
I mean, I'd do the normal Labor approach of just doing all of those things really badly.
So the actual answer is you were wrong to answer the question because you're not allowed to answer the question.
Oh, okay.
It's a small target strategy.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
You're an idiot. You bought into the premise of the question. What a fuckwit. Two more questions. The first one is how many times... has Morrison been heckled in public?
Ooh. In the election campaign?
Yeah, during the election campaign.
I don't remember.
I haven't seen any.
I mean, Albo had the temerity to interrupt him at one point during the debate. Does that count?
No, that doesn't count.
I don't think I've seen any heckles.
Well, you're not paying attention.
It was nearly, I mean, Barnaby Joyce nearly got beaten up, which was quite fun.
That was good.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
It sort of really channeled the feelings of most Australians in that.
That guy was on the angry side.
Yeah, imagine a room where Barnaby Joyce isn't the angriest person. I don't remember any heckles of Scott Morrison, but I have been ignoring much of what he's done.
Well, you are wrong because there's been five and we've actually compiled a clip of people heckling Morrison.
This is what you said when you got elected last time. We've got to help all those people that worked all their lives, paid their taxes, and those that have a go will get a go.
Correct.
Well, I've had a go, mate.
Congratulations on being the worst Prime Minister we've ever had.
Why is it recording?
Oh, I'm just... I just want to ask you a question.
Mate, I'm sorry, this is a private event.
Sorry about that.
You know another promise that you made?
Okay, well, look, we've had quite a chat.
Hey, yeah, no, you know, you're going to have an integrity commission. You better...
This is the media.
I'm passing
the drinks for the media event.
I just want to ask a question. People lost their houses, and they were burned. You're a disgrace.
See, I would argue there's only two heckles in that, because the Newcastle pub guy was initially speaking to him. A heckle only gets when he's walking away and you've been yelled at. The other one was the woman tricking him into doing the thing on a
which
phone.
Which was great.
It was great, but I wouldn't call it a heckle. And even the other guy who snuck into the press conference there, it only became a heckle again when Morrison walked away. So I would say two heckles out of that five.
I also just want to acknowledge that the Greens are the only party that would provide that poor gentleman with free dentures. It really needs them.
Okay. And then, of course, how many times has Albanese been heckled?
He's been heckled by the guy that wanted to ask a question of him. He was heckled by himself when he was asked a question.
What about the whole of Blues Fest when he went out and tried to bask in Barnes' audience?
That's right. It depends on which vision you show of that.
Never stop a rock concert to make an appearance.
I miss you, Peter Garrett. That's it.
Yeah.
So the official answer to that is none, because no one's recognised. And then finally, last question, how many eggings have there been this election?
Oh, not enough.
There's one, definitely. Craig Kelly got eggs.
Yep.
Can we just somehow refer back to Fraser Anning, the greatest moment in Australian political history?
That's what established the egging as a part of our political system.
Yeah.
This might surprise you, but it wasn't in the Constitution initially.
Really? I didn't know that.
I only know the Craig Kelly. Any others?
No, it's just been Craig Kelly. But, you know, we've still got 4 weeks to go. I think that maybe, you know, that's a stat that all Australians could improve on.
There is more of a chance to egg Craig Kelly again.
Yeah, that's right. Just because it's happened once doesn't mean you can't do it again.
Okay, that's the quiz. I'm going to award the quiz to Dom. There you go. Congratulations.
Well done, Dom.
Is this like the election where no matter who wins, we all lose? Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Rigging elections since before it was cool. The Chaser Report.
So far in this podcast, we've focused almost entirely on the Prime Minister and the alternative Prime Minister, you know. I want to focus now on the alternative Prime Minister, Craig Kelly, because if you want a party with easy-to-understand policies that sound good, you want the UAP. Now,
really?
The United what? Australia Party. Really? Now, I want to correct some misconceptions.
Is this paid advertising? Hang on, is this how you're funding this podcast?
It is.
Oh, no. $80 million on the table. Suddenly.
Freedom.
But now, the UAP aren't just some fly-by-night party that was created as the plaything of some self-indulgent billionaire like the old Palmer United Party. Mm. The UAP's been around since 1931. It's a name you can trust. It provided some of Australia's greatest PMs, Joseph Lyons, Billy Hughes, and Sir Robert Menzies.
That's right.
That's right, which is why Clive Palmer could steal the name and rebrand the Palmer United Party.
So wait a minute, did it continuously exist?
It did until 1945 when it got shut down and turned to the Liberals.
Right. Mm.
Mm. So it was like a web domain that was available.
Yes. And
he just went and got it.
because
he's the Red Tube Party.
Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding of Australian history is that it basically became a party that no one could ever support ever again.
Mm.
After After Menzies, in about 41 or 42, supported the idea of the Brisbane Line, which was the controversial idea, which was, why don't we just cede the top half of Australia, the northern half of Australia, to the Japanese, because we shouldn't commit troops to defending Australia. We should instead send them all over to Europe and help out the English
which
instead.
Was interestingly also Bill Shorten's approach to the election last time. North Queensland.
But like, I don't think that like that's no. the party that the this like it's a very unpatriotic
are you,
party.
No, I
don't
are you
think
suggesting? That's right. I think the moment it became that nobody could vote for the United Australia Party was the moment that the Clive Palmer got made.
I'm very confident Clive does not know about the Brisbane Line. But if you want wacky policies that are a little bit strange, the thing about the UAP, you don't find them. Their policies are brilliant. And the great thing is that they're all 3 seconds long, okay? Every UAP policy is 3 seconds long, and it makes sense. They all just make sense. Have a listen. These are all from the official UAP YouTube channel. Listen to the first one.
We need new submarines now, not in 40 years. We need a new government. Save Australia. Vote one, United Australia Party.
Too long.
Yeah,
I lost focus.
We need new subs now, not in 40 years. We should just buy one from China.
That's not a bad policy.
It's very, very simple. What about this one?
Save your home. Maximum home loans below 3% for the next 5 years.
That's it. You can't have interest rates above 3%. Now, what that would do to the home market, and no one would be able to get mortgages and the whole thing would probably collapse, but it sounds so good.
It sounds very simple. I like the repetition too, because he was like, unfortunately, this policy is not getting it to 3 seconds. It's too short. He's got, I'll just repeat save your home twice.
What about this one? Now, this is a real eye-catcher.
Bring back from overseas $1 trillion of Australian super to Australia. Injected into the Australian economy.
So there's $1 trillion that he's just going to bring back on a truck from overseas and put it into our economy for jobs.
Yep, that wouldn't create inflation or anything. An extra $1 trillion.
And all the super funds that invested in overseas shares, you just get their money and bring it back.
I love it.
There's another one that I think is really, really attractive. Have a listen to this.
TAFE and university used to be free. United Australia Party will make it free again.
And so that way you'll be able to train a whole lot of economists to explain to Clive Palmer why you can't just take $1 trillion from overseas.
It is. I love the way he just can say anything, basically. Wasn't there also one where he's saying, you reduce the tax on coal or something and it'll pay for everything?
That's a 15% export duty on coal, I think.
Is that reducing or increasing it?
I think it's increasing it to pay for everything, to balance the budget.
This is a surprising approach by a coal baron.
I know, I found that quite bizarre too. Now look, the UAP, when they bring in the utopia and win the election through these smart policies, it's not going to be a complete utopia. We are still going to have a little bit of Craig Kelly doing this.
The TGA adverse event report reported after COVID-19 vaccines, 487 deaths and 52,546 adverse events. We need a government inquiry now.
Yeah, so we still have a
Can
guy who doesn't understand.
Can you not play that shit? This
he still has no idea how vaccines work.
We know
work.
You're taking money from them for this. We refuse to let that be played, okay? If that gets played, if that plays, I'm leaving.
So, I mean, basically what that means is that he doesn't understand that the vaccines actually save lives. So there'll be no vaccines in the UAP Australia.
But we'll have lots of ivermectin, won't we?
But we will. And the best thing, though, about the UAP government is that they'll protect us from this threat that I bet neither of you have even heard of.
In Beijing, they even use surveillance technology to stop people from taking too much toilet paper. In a matter of seconds, a microchip is inserted in the hand.
What?
That's for their hands.
Hang on a second. So the surveillance is to stop you taking toilet paper, which is a microchip in your hand.
Oh, look, which is exactly what we needed at the beginning of the pandemic when all the toilet paper disappeared.
This is why the Chinese invented the virus.
Yes.
To sell their toilet paper was stopping stealing technology.
Yes.
Oh, hang on a second. I should join the UAP.
The Chaser Report. Now with extra whispers.
So before we go, I did want to ask you guys to explain to me, because I missed what happened. I was away. What is the Coal Makes Me Come song by Scott Morrison, by The Chaser? Was it a duo working together? How did this come about? And how the hell is it? I saw it on iTunes the other day. What is going on?
Yeah, so what happened was after the debate that was on Sky News, we forced Cam Smith, our editor, to sit down and recompile all of Scott Morrison's words into a sort of monologue, right?
But who challenged him to do it? Wasn't somebody outside challenged him to do it?
No. So he just did that because we forced him to, right? But then, like, it's just part of his job. It's like a Clockwork Orange style workshop.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah.
But then what happened was a fan heard that monologue, which was quite good. Like, it went around and and said, why don't you do a sort of house mix, like dance mix of that song? And cut it up. And so then Cam then went and applied his amazing musical ability and cut it into a really fucking funky tune.
Fantastic. Okay. And so let's have a little bit of a listen to this, because it's not approved by Morrison, I'm guessing.
Well, it's his words.
But also, it's so popular, it probably is approved. It's probably now Liberal Party policy.
Yeah, exactly.
Cold makes me hard. Cold makes me come. My dick is always hard, but cold, and it's only getting harder.
So in the first 12 hours after it got released, it got 1 million listens, right?
Yes.
It's currently number 3 on iTunes.
So can you just, it was easy to put Cold Makes Me Come on iTunes?
Yeah, because you think about modern music, it's all swear words. You just put explicit lyrics.
True.
So you're totally allowed to say that. And then it's number 3 on iTunes, but this is the whole scam, right? Because that sounds impressive, like we're number 3 in the charts, right?
Yeah, okay. It does.
Except we're not talking about Apple Music, right? Because I kept on listening to it on Apple Music thinking, oh, that'll go up in the charts if I listen to it on Apple Music. No. The iTunes charts, which is the thing that everyone talks about, is only it only sort of increases your chart if you buy the track from iTunes,
which no one does anymore.
No one does. So literally, if you buy 10 copies of that track, you get to, like, say, about number 3 in the charts.
Wow.
Right? So this morning we all in the office sat around and used our iTunes again. Like, remember iTunes?
Yeah.
I didn't even know it existed still.
No, exactly. Yeah.
But you can buy it for $1.29. So everyone out there listening to this podcast, press buy. Like, you got to go into the iTunes store.
Yes.
Right?
If you've still got that on your phone. Yeah.
No, it's still on your phone.
I've got iTunes on my phone.
Yeah. And you could, for $1.29, you can buy the track. And if we get another, say, five or six people doing that,
I'll do it right now.
I reckon we will be number one on the charts.
Here it is, iTunes Store.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. See? I'm going to buy it. $1.19. Seems pretty expensive.
How much of that money goes to Scott Morrison?
Yeah, the singer.
Oh, shit, yeah. Oh, fuck, we haven't thought about that. The royalties are going to kill us.
I presume Albo's people have already been in touch and requested Cole Also Makes Me Come.
Yeah, exactly.
I got no results for Cole Makes Me Come.
What? I don't know. Come is...
Oh, they've bleeped out the U in come.
Yeah, so just go. If you search for Cole Makes Me.
Oh, there you go. Okay, yes, it is. Yeah. It's explicit, $1.19. Shooting up the charts.
Hey.
It's more popular than Harry Styles.
Yeah, we passed Adele late last night.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know.
This is good. Wouldn't it be funny if this ended up being the reason the Morrison won? Everyone's like, gee, I just love his song.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Our gear is from Rode Microphones. We are part of the Acast Creator Network. We're going to be here for the next 4 weeks, every day.
Near instant take on the day's election stories. Charles, have we thought what it's going to do to us doing this for 4 weeks, every single day?
Well, I'm planning to catch COVID, so I'll be out of it for the next week anyway.
Stay at Elbow's house.
Oh, yeah.
Sleepover.
Catch you tomorrow.